It's Vart on honor of Shavuos. Okay, let me tell you what's here. Okay, I saw a very beautiful idea from Rav Yosef Soloveitchik of Boston, affectionately known as the Rav from Yeshiva University. It's a beautiful idea, and the idea was brought out in response to one of the age-old questions about Rus HaMoravia. We know that we are aware that on Shavuos we lay Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus, one of the primary reasons why we lay Megillas Rus is because we have a tradition that David HaMelech was born and died on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. There's the yard site of Meir. It's a big yard site. Shavuos. It's a big yard site, gigantic yard site. David HaMelech's yard site. How do we know? We don't know. It's tradition. Tradition. We have a tradition. You can't prove it. Doesn't say it on his kever. Where is his kever? Have his kever?
Yeah.
Have his kever? It's okay.
Yeah.
Where is?
Yeah.
It's really David. They know for sure.
There's a part of the church and there's a yeshiva.
Is the yeshiva okay? Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So we have a legend that his yard site, he died on Vav Sivan, and we have a tradition that tzaddikim, they die on the day they're born. If he died on Vav Sivan, he was born on Vav Sivan. Therefore, what do we do on Vav Sivan in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chuzar? Well, if we have 2 days, so we do the next day, we lay Megillas Rus. Why do we lay Megillas Rus? Because Megillas Rus is Meyaches, the Yichus, it traces the Yichus of David HaMelech. The last few psukim of Megillas Rus tell us that Rus had a child from Boaz, and that child, we go through the next generations and we go backwards. We go really back from Tamar. We go back from Tamar. Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. She was married to Er and then Onan. And then Yehuda had relations with her. Yehuda thought that she was a Zona, and she became pregnant with twins, Peretz and Zerach. And from Peretz, I don't remember the psukim, remember the Baal Peh. And from that, we go down all the generations. From that, we come to Boaz. And Boaz married Rus. And then we go down to Oved, Yishai, and maybe I skipped someone, Oved, Yishai, and then David. So what the Megillah does, in essence, is it traces the lineage of David HaMelech, and that's why we lay Megillas Rus on Shavuos. That's one of maybe 10 reasons. There are many, many reasons. One of the big top popular topics of lectures on Shavuos, why do we lay Megillas Rus? So one of the answers, one of the top five, will be the Yichus of David HaMelech. Now, commentators are now that's the yichus from whose side? The yichus that's mentioned in Megillas Rus is the yichus from the father. It's from the yichus of the father. We go back to Tamar, Peretz, and then it's called Yehuda. It's Yehuda, Peretz. I don't know all the names, and it goes all the way down to Boaz. Yeah, read the pasuk. Read the pasuk. Peretz. Chetzroin. Ram.
Aminadav holidus Nachshon. Nachshon holidus Salmon. The Salmon holidus. Change the name. The Salmon holidus Boaz. The Boaz holidus Obed. Obed holidus Ishai. The Ishai holidus David.
I think also we're skipping some generations here also. But it's not a complete, but we're down the lineage. The lineage is from who? The father. We trace the yichus of the father. What about the yichus of the mother, Rus? Where does she come from? She was the daughter of a princess of the king of Moab. And her yichus goes, oh, who's Moab? Moab comes from Lot. Lot, we go, if you want to trace the lineage of the mother of Malchus, it goes to Lot. And Lot's father was Haran. And Haran's father was Terach. So it really goes all the way back to Terach. So you want to go to Terach all the way down to Lot. Lot did a terrible aver with his two daughters, and they had relations with an incest, mamish incest. And from that came out Amon u'Moav. And Moav turned into he established a nation. And that nation had many kings. And one of the kings had a daughter. And that daughter's name was Rus. Rus somehow met up with Elimelech. And Elimelech died. And then she ended up marrying Boaz. And from that came David. Melech HaMavid, David Ad Hayom Hazeh. Melech HaMashiach is a descendant of David. Chazal tells us that when David, when Shlomo HaMelech, when he built his palace, and Shlomo sat on the famous throne of Shlomo, there was a special section of the throne that had a chair for Rus HaMoavia. She was still alive at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. That's awesome. What did she do? What was her diet? What did she do? Longevity center. All right, what? She must have been a candidate for the longevity center. She lived a very, very long life. Chazal said that she sat next to Shlomo, the Imo Shel Malchus. Now, Chazal note that it's very bizarre how they came into existence. The mother of Malchus comes from Lot. Lot was Mizana with his daughters. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. It just does not get worse than that. And from that came out a person by the name of Moav. And from Moav, who knows what they were involved in. Okay, the Goyim, we know the Goyim are not tzaddikim when it comes to matters of Arayos. And from that comes this girl, Rus. And then Rus, how does she meet Boaz? They would throw her out of even of any Jewish school, or even what has the lowest standards, when the principal finds out that this girl, in the middle of the night, she goes into a granary, and she lies down next to a man, and she has a conversation in the middle of the night, lying down next to a man in a granary. This is not a derech for a Beis Yaakov girl, okay? This is not exactly what a Beis Yaakov girl is taught to do in seminary. They would not exactly be very proud of her behavior. So what's going on over here? Furthermore, let's go talk about the yichus of the father. Who's yichus of the father? It all starts with Tamar. Tamar, what did Yehuda do to Tamar? He was mezana with her. He was mamish. He went and he said to his friend, "There's a zoyna. I want to have dealings with this zoyna." And he secretly went on the side of the road, had relations with her. And he gave her a mashkoin. He wanted it back, couldn't find her. And then she comes and she says, he finds out that his daughter was pregnant. She wants to kill her. It goes to show what people that had relations out of wedlock, what they did to them. And then he says, Sotka Mimeni, she lets her live. Isn't it very strange that the Melech HaMashiach, David, comes from such lineage of their whole existence comes through situations which are far, far from ideal? It's not something you're going to say when you read a Shirach. Let me tell you about the Zayda. The Zayda was Mizana with his daughters. And this is an enikel from that Maisa. Let me tell you about Yehuda, from the mother's side. Oh, the one on the father's side? Oh, even better. His own daughter-in-law he was mezana with. Okay, what's going on over here?
Well, it wasn't such a simple person.
What? No, he wasn't.
You have to understand the whole circumstance.
Exactly, and of course.
There's nothing simple over
here. There's nothing simple, 100%. There's nothing simple. But the body, it's not my kasha. I'm not telling you. I think over there's a famous Veltz kasha. Every sefer has a whole chapter on this.
Well, the gula comes out of very murky things.
So what's going on? So there are a lot of answers, right? A lot of mercy. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? There really are no satisfying answers. Everything I've seen, kupa shel shirotz and humility, they have to always be able to recognize that they come from not such holy sources. So therefore, it adds a degree of humility. Kupa shel shirotzim toloi. Bitsavarov. There's a box of shrotzim hanging on their neck. It humbles the Melech HaMashiach. You like that? I don't know. Another answer is because you have to confuse the Satan. Okay, the Satan doesn't want Mashiach to happen, so when it happens in this way, so the Satan's off guard. You would never imagine. are these the answers? These are words. I'm telling you words. They're not very satisfying, these answers. And I don't have an answer for you. I just want to point out, I have a very nice sefer. There's a new sefer called Oz Yashir. He goes to Yanim Shua, so he quotes there from Rav Soloveitchik. And he quotes there that in this topic of conversation, Rav Soloveitchik is not answering the question. He's not answering the question, but he does say something that's very, very fascinating. And he says, in all of these stories, it could be that he's trying to answer the question. Again, it doesn't fully answer the question, but in all these stories, the situation was, it's over. The situation was over. There was a degree of yeyosh. Lot, Ha, and his two daughters, they ran away. The Malach said, flee for your life, we are destroying Sidon. They run away. They run away, they're in isolation. A father and his two daughters. As far as they're concerned, the world came to an end. It's over. So what are they going to do? And they can't marry. The father and the daughter can't marry because that's incest. They're not going to marry each other. So how will they populate the world? It doesn't necessarily mean the world was over. They knew the world existed, but it means that for them, they had no chance. No one would marry them. Everyone knew that if Hashem destroyed Sodom, Amora, Admu, Tzvoyim, and you're a survivor, you're cursed. Their shidduch prospects were less than zero. No one in the world would ever marry. That's how Chazal explained. Chazal doesn't mean that they thought the world came to an end, because the world, they knew, did not come to an end. The world was going quite well. But their shidduch prospects were zero. No one would marry them. They're not going to marry their father. That's also, that's disgusting. That's incest. No, they made a hayroasha. All right, that's not for us to judge. But there's an element here that is very, that's amazing. And that is the desire to begin anew. Even though everything is over. It's over. The gates are shut. We've reached a dead end. Okay, I don't care. I have to start rebuild. I have to rebuild my life at any expense. I'm not going to allow fate to tell me my life is over. I will rebuild my life no matter what. Now, what they did is not for us to judge. That is for Chazal to get into. What they did, is it permitted, not permitted, before Matan Torah? It's not necessarily also for them to do. It's not also for them to do. Okay, there's Araya, Shav Mitzvah, okay, that's a topic of discussion. That's not our topic of discussion. But one thing is for sure, is that it's amazing what they did. It's the will to persevere, to rebuild in a situation where it's really final, it's really over, is awesome. That's what you see from the side of who? The father. That's the side of the mother.
We don't know who David's mother is.
We do know. David Bathsheba was David's mother. David's mother was Shlomo's mother. We do know who Shlomo's mother was. The Gemara says we know who David's mother was. We do know. It was Yishai's wife. And Yishai's wife, we know who she was. There was a story. Yishai was parish from his wife, and he wanted to live with his maidservant. Think of the topic. His maidservant, and the maidservant told his wife that David wanted to be with her. So Yishai. So he switched. So they switched. And David was with his wife instead of his maidservant. Yishai was with his wife instead of his maidservant, and Yishai's wife became pregnant, and Yishai said, how did my wife become pregnant? I was separated from her already all this time. I wasn't with her all this time. How did she become pregnant? It must be that she was Mizana, and the child is a mamzer. And when David was born, they thought he was a mamzer. So they sent him out to the field to be a shepherd in the field, in the place where it was very dangerous, hoping and praying that a lion would devour him so he would not be an insult to the family. Not only did the lion not devour David devoured the lion. He would bring back the lion in his hands. He devoured the lion. Until later it was revealed, then when Shmuel came to anoint they bore out David's 7 children, and Shmuel said, none of the above. Do you have another child? They said, well, there's another child, but he's a mamzer. Yishai is not really his father. So Shmuel said, I'm sorry to tell you, Yishai is his father. And the Omer Horvriya that he thought he was born, it really was a switch. It really was his wife. And it was revealed that really was his child. And he was not illegitimate. He was legitimate. And he was the one that was known. It's a whole story in and of itself, what that story means, not for now. But any event, let's not get into the finish of the Zvart. Let's look at the side of the Mitzad, the Yichus Mitzad Ha'af. Tamar and his daughter-in-laws. Nachama, incest. A daughter-in-law. For a father-in-law to have relations with his daughter-in-law. Why did she do it? Why did Tamar do it? Because she realized life for her is over. She's a katlonis. She was responsible. She was involved in the... I mean, she was married to 2 men and both of her husbands died. So Yehuda's not going to marry her off anymore. No one's going to want to marry her. She's cursed. No one's going to touch her. She already had 2 husbands and they both died. No one will touch her. Tamar said, I'm also a person. I'm also entitled to a life. And I'm going to make sure that I have a life. Now, even though my fate is sealed, it's over, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to make sure I have a life. And she took matters into her own hand. And she disguised herself as a Zona, had relations with Yehuda, became pregnant. And from that child came forth Boaz. Ruth, again, when she met up with Boaz, was very audacious in going in the middle of the night into the granary and lying down on the floor next to his legs and proposing to him. Why? Because Ruth said, I'm a done deal. I'm finished. My life is over. No one's going to want to marry me. I'm a Gioris, this, that, all this. The common denominator of Soloveitchik says is you're dealing here both Mitzad Ha'af, Mitzad Ha'aim, and Rus and Boaz itself, and it's highlighted in the Megillah itself, is the desire, the will to persevere against all odds. Even though Al Pi Derech HaTeva, according to the rules of society, the rules of fate, the rules of life, it's over. The doctors have given up hope. They pulled the plug. It's over. There's nothing more to do. You're out of your mind. There's nothing you can possibly do except it, live with it, and just accept it. The answer is no. I will not accept it. I will persevere. I will rise up and I will make for myself a life. I will rebuild myself. I will establish myself. From the combination of all of these events is where Mashiach comes. David HaMelech is a product of an act of perseverance of Lot's daughters, Mitzad, the mother, an act of perseverance by Tamar, Mitzad, the father, and the father and mother came together in another very courageous act of Rus HaMoaviah in the Goyren with Boaz. That's what we need in a Mashiach. We need in a Mashiach a person that can say to the world, I don't want to say the words, can say to the world, I don't care what you think, what you want, what you do. This is what we're going to do. We are going to rebuild this world and bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our lives, whether you like it or not. And don't tell me, but you can't do it. It's impossible. It's not the way things are done. Fate has decided that it's over. The Melech HaMashiach's courage is beyond our imagination, beyond our understanding, how a person can rise up against everything and do the right thing and bring the world to where it needs to be. This is what we need in Mashiach. And this is the Yichus of the Melech HaMashiach. Both Mitzad Ha'av and Mitzad Ha'aim. Now, the way they did it, you know, that's a topic of discussion. Okay, Yehuda and Tamar Chazal say that's halach yibum, that was permitted. Yibum. Lot and his daughters, there are mahalchim in halacha that it's not usur. It wasn't forbidden. Before Matan Torah, v'chulu, there are mahalchim. To us, it sounds a little bit bizarre, but it is bizarre because even though maybe technically according to halacha you can find a legal loophole for it to be permitted, but it's still in society not accepted. In society, it's still something which is off limits. Yet to be able to go and persevere and create yourself a new life, a resurgence, a tchiyas ha-meisim by a human being, wow, that's remarkable. That is what Mashiach is all about, and that is the koyach of Kabbalah Satorah. Through Torah, there's nothing that's beyond your reach. Have a wonderful day, and we'll pick up tomorrow.